I had an outstanding mentor when I was a young pastor, just starting out. And this guy was in his 60s, and he had visited hospital after hospital, patient after patient, prisoner after prisoner. To me, it was like thousands of times. And I remember going into this internship and having Reverend Kerm Ridema explain to me the ropes on how you do things. And I recall that in the hospital visit, he had it down to this ministry science where he would show love and be really professional. So in a lot of ways, I give Reverend Kerm Ridema, who now has gone beyond with the Lord many years ago, I give him credit for laying the DNA on how I would do a hospital visit. Now, over the years, I've read some books, I've tweaked things a little bit, but I will tell you that that Reverend Kerm Ridema understood how to minister to people in the hospital. He started out, and I'm just from this point on just going to share some of the ideas and more that I learned throughout the years. The first thing is get prepared. Whoever is in the hospital, you know, and this again, if it's something very serious or something minor or it's something that is very like troubling, whatever it is, pray ahead of time. Pick a scripture ahead of time. Don't go by the seat of your pants and hope that a scripture passage just comes to you. Select passages. You sort of get them into your mind that where are you going to take this visit? And even think of different scenarios, like if bad news happens or I hear that, here's a passage. If things are really going good, here's a passage. Now, over time, the preparation will be of such that you'll sort of have that preparation already sort of in your mind, so the preparation won't be as time-consuming later on in your ministry. But at first, especially, get in your mind what possible passages you're going to pick. Be very careful not to pick them too long. Sometimes what happens is there's a really cool passage, but it's really long. And I will tell you that stay with about 6 verses or less, maybe 7. Or if it's really familiar, maybe a little bit more. You know, if you were able to memorize some of these great scriptures, great. But remember that the content is important. For instance, let's say you memorize Psalm 23. That's fine. But let that not be the one you use in all cases, because maybe the valley of the shadow of death is not something that's appropriate in that ministry context. What happens when you start memorizing passages is that you can lean on that because you think it's cool and it will come off really neat. But at the end of the day, content, what you're saying, how you're ministering with Scripture is vitally important. Now, in our own family, as we have practiced home discipleship, we have memorized hundreds of passages now. So I have memorized passages that are appropriate in a lot of different situations, and I can call upon them. But I will not call upon them to show anybody that, hey, look at the pastor really knows a lot of memorized passages. Therefore, you know, I'm going to make passages apply that really don't, but isn't it neat the pastor can memorize passages? My point is, memorized passages are very appropriate, but let the content, what you're really trying to minister, let that be more important than, you know, showing off that you know memorized passages. You know what I'm saying? Dress appropriately. And in today's kind of ministry appropriate context, you don't necessarily need to wear the tie or the suit or anything like that. Wear something kind of up casual, something that's neat, clean, business-like a little bit, but not necessarily something that's over the top that you're making somebody feel uncomfortable either. Another thing is to contact people ahead of time if you're going to go there. I know that a lot of pastors in the past could just show up and then they make their visit sort of like the doctor would do, and make his calls, and the patient is just sitting there waiting. But more and more with how hospitals operate, and there's so many factors, and there's a test being done at this time, I would just advise to contact ahead of time to make sure that it works out for you. Now, so, you arrive to the hospital. Now, you're a new pastor in the area, or what I would suggest is go to the chaplain's office. Ask the person sitting at the desk, especially if it's in the daytime when the chaplain's office is open. Is there a chaplain office here, ma'am? Yes, there is. Where is it? I'm a new pastor in town, and when you get there, go there, introduce yourself. There's often a badge you sign up for, you register, all of those things. And sometimes they don't have one. That's fine, too. But sort of get connected. If possible, meet the staff. Get connected to them and find out where what they're about. And do they actually visit the parishioner? If they do, when? How does that actually work in a local given situation? And a lot of times at the chaplain's office, they'll have maps of the facilities, so you know, become aware of, you know, where the different elevators are in the hospital. But to me, it's a great courtesy to go to the chaplain's office, get connected, get on each other's radar screen. Now you're at the hospital, you know, go back and find the room number. And here's something to really keep in mind. Wash your hands. It's such a simple thing to do. Just wash your hands. You don't want to spread anything to the parishioner. But you also, I think, in general, it's a courtesy out of respect for those that you're meeting with. Walk up-tempo and professional. And I know that's such a little thing to think about, but, you know, sort of have your Bible in hand or your iPhone in hand, you know, or whatever. But just walk professionally. And if you have a badge on, you come in there in the name of Christ and carry that with you. When you get finally to the floor where the patient is at, where the parishioner is at, have the courtesy to go to the nurse's station. But here's something. Do not ask how the patient is doing. I know that we sort of get that, but I'm going to talk later in the presentation about HIPAA laws. The nurses are going to say they aren't able to disclose information because they can't. When I first started in the ministry, the protocol was to check in at the nurse's station and, how is George? And then the nurse would say, George is not doing so well, or George... And it was very much the case, but there are some new laws that don't really allow that. So don't even do that. Don't put the nurse in that kind of a position. When they give you the information of where the parishioner is, go over there, knock gently on the door as you're entering, identifying yourself. Gentle knock. Hi, it's Pastor Henry. I'm here to see you. You know, don't yell at, just sort of positive, you know, coming in there to meet the people, meet the person in the room. So now you're in the room. Okay. Instead of saying, how are you? Or, you know, making some comment about, like, you're not looking so good. Those are some of the things that just kind of come out of our mouth. Instead, just say, you know, it's Pastor Henry. I'm glad to see you. Or, hi, George. I'm here to visit a little bit. Now, the reason that you want to stay away from how are you and so forth, while on one level, that's nice. In some people that you visit to, that sort of communicates a little bit of a negative nowadays. Or they really don't want to talk about how they are. Or if they want to tell you, if you say, hi, I'm glad to see you, or I just want to come here a little bit, they're going to tell you what they want you to hear right at this point in the hospital, and they're not going to feel like sort of like put on the spot. That's really the key issue. Don't put anybody on the spot. People take that hospital experience in all different ways. In your mind, the visit should last between 5 and 15 minutes. Okay? And you say, only 15 minutes maximum, or 5 minutes? That's right. People are not feeling that great, but they feel excited about you coming. That's nice. But at a certain point, they're tired. They're in this position and they don't want to get talking a lot about. Now, when I say 5 to 15 minutes, there are exceptions. If the parishioner you're talking to, you know, wants to talk more, and it's the vibration is really clear that they want to talk more, fine, longer than 15 minutes. But I've even thought that the vibration of more than 15 minutes was okay, and I stayed longer. And sometimes I got feedback that, boy, he wouldn't leave. And I thought for sure they wanted to talk longer, and they were talking, but they sort of gave the vibration, stay, Pastor. But inside, they were like, I can't wait until the pastor leaves after 15 minutes. Now, somebody can say, like, well, people are that ungrateful. No, they are sick or they're hurting. They're tired. They love that you come. They love that you pray. But just keep in mind that 5 to 15 minute time frame. When you're in the room, be encouraging. But stay away from the answer pastor. You know, stay away from, you know, God did this because, you know. Instead, listen more than talk. If the patient even wants to talk. Now, what you'll find is that a loved one will be in the room as well. And you're ministering to the person maybe in bed, and that person in bed is just sort of watching everything, and the spouse or a child or a friend is there, you know, and usually it's the spouse. And a lot of times that's the time the spouse will really be talking about how George is. Well, he had this test, he had this test, all these other things, and George is sort of just listening, and just listen, you know. Here's something too. When the patient is present, don't talk about them as if they were not there. You know, that's one of the things that really pay attention to that. Because let's say somebody had a car accident and they're supposedly in a coma. And sometimes you'll see, like, there's issues of maybe frustration. You know, why was he driving so fast? And the spouse or parishioner or various people will all of a sudden talk as if the person is not there. They're in a coma. And one of the things that, you know, that over the years, you know, I'll maybe whisper to the spouse or the person there, hey, let's walk outside. And just a little gentle, it's not a reprimand, is saying, you know, we don't know what George is thinking or hearing right now because comas are all over. So let's be positive in his presence and whatnot. And again, that's a sensitive area. Maybe the relationship with a parishioner is that you can't really talk like that. So then just don't be party. Maybe the parishioner will talk as if the person's there. And then somehow create that positive balance. Just, you know, assuming that the patient, even if the patient's in a coma, can hear you. You know, I think that's a general rule of thumb in general. Don't talk about the patient as if they were not there. Ask the patient or the family the plan of treatment. Do not ask the nurse, I mentioned that earlier, or the doctor, because basically they're not going to be willing to share that. Now, in some countries and other places where you're hearing this, you may not have the United States, they call them HIPAA laws. You may have a whole different, you know, protocol, and I acknowledge that, and definitely keep your local protocol in mind. So now you're visiting the visit is winding down, and as that visit is winding down, announce, you know, 7, 8, 10 minutes or 14 minutes, announce that you've picked a Bible passage. But one thing I always do too is I'll say stuff like, you know, I picked a Bible passage, or, you know, George is sort of groggy, you know, Elizabeth, his wife, I picked a Bible passage. I would like to read this unless you have one that you'd like me to read instead. Okay, and sometimes there's like, Pastor, will you read Psalm 34? Beautiful. So you turn to Psalm 34 and read that passage. This is George's, one of his favorite passages, and I know it'll be so encouraging to him. So whatever you researched, whatever, just do Psalm 34. But it's that sensitivity, you're listening to how to minister best. After you've read the Bible passage, you don't need to comment on it or say, did you notice verse 4? And verse 4 said, if you lean on the Lord. No, you don't need to do any of that. Let the passage be as it is. And if somebody in the room wants to comment, great. But after the comments are done, then announce that you'd like to pray. And then, you know, or maybe you'll have oil with, you know, and depending on your tradition or background, you may, and I'm going to talk about this in a little bit too, about bringing an elder or a deacon along or an associate pastor. You know, whatever sort of is your local convention, then pray. But even on the prayer, keep the prayer to the point, keep the prayer focused, You know, you don't need to pray for national security in the prayer. Keep very much the material of the prayer, that which you've heard in the visit to the parishioner. After that, pray, exit with a smile. You might want to leave a card and say, you know, if there's anything you need, just give a call. You know, many times I've seen pastors leave booklets or encouraging tracts. Talk with the family and ask if there's, you know, is there anything the church can do? And a lot of times I'll notice, like, a spouse or a family member will exit with you, and you can bring that up. Like, you know, is there anything we can do to help? When you leave the hospital, go back to the place that you washed your hands and wash your hands again, because you're also in a hospital as a place of various, you know, bugs and bacteria and stuff like that. And so you want to just wash your hands, because you're also leaving that space and going to your family or to your church situation. And you know, on return visits, you know, really kind of determine basically on sort of the expectation of each person how often to visit. Some people want that one visit. Some people want a visit that's, you know, like 4 days later. Really sort of get a sense with each family. And it's very appropriate that when you think as you're leaving about the return visit, to call a family member and ask. Say, you know, I'm so glad that I could come here. A lot of times, you know, I'll call a day or two later. I enjoyed seeing George. And, you know, is something I could I come back at this time? Or what's your read on the situation? And they will tell you exactly what would be appropriate ministry. Okay, hospital visits are great training opportunities. Many times I will take an elder and deacon to a hospital training. And one thing I will do is I will not expect them to, you know, take the ball a lot. And many times they don't know what to do. They're just watching you. And here's what's really cool. In the car there, try to go together. I pick them up. Explain what you just learned in this presentation to that elder or deacon. And as the elder and deacon gets into their position and they're operating, it becomes more and more appropriate to, let's say you visit once, and then you say to the wife or husband, Elder Brian is would like to come visit again sometime. Is it okay? And then they'll say, oh, we'd love to see Brian, or something or other. But now you, in a sense, you brought him along, you're training them, and what you've done is you've spread pastoral care and ministry to other people. Also, too, if you see a young person that's a pastor candidate, lead that young pastor like Reverend Kerm Ridema did with me years and years ago. Now, a couple situations that sometimes arise in a hospital call. There'll be family meetings. Things like, you know, should we take this dear one off life supports? And on family meetings, and oftentimes you'll be invited to participate. The key issue in the family meeting is don't convince them to do what they don't really want to do on that issue. A person convinced against their will remain unconvinced still. If they ask for your opinion, you know, say, look, I'm just praying that God will give you that wisdom. What are all the pros and cons of some of these decisions? Help clarify the facts. But at the end of the day, really, it's the family's decision, because you wouldn't want to, like, force a decision that you think, and then later on they come back and said, you know, we really didn't want to do that, but the pastor sort of forced us to do it. The next thing is situation is really check out your local HIPAA laws. If you're not in America, you won't even know what HIPAA laws mean. But each country has certain privacy laws about patients and about pastors, and you really want to sort of get to know some of those so you can effectively administer mercy and love to the families, understanding the HIPAA laws or the local laws. Also, sometimes what you'll get is you'll have visitors from church, and they're all waiting, and, you know, an accident occurred or something, you know, real quick occurs, and then you have a close-knit church, and then, you know, everybody from church is in the waiting room, and then it almost becomes like a fellowship arama where everybody from church is in the waiting room, and they'll stay there long periods of time, and it's done in the name of loving that family. You know, as a pastor, try to help people see that they're really not, go home and pray, they're really not needed to be there. Now, I know some people go like, oh, but pastor, if they want to be there, they show their love and support. Believe it or not, it puts a lot of strain on the family whose loved one is there, because now they're, you know, people have to eat, and I have seen this happen, and I've seen the stress caused upon a family when a whole group of people are there. Now, am I saying that never come and show support? No, I'm not saying never do it. I'm just saying, as a pastor and leader, sort of keep the expectations on the family low and sort of help your parishioners, you know, honor those expectations, as well as the hospital staff. If you know, I remember one time we had like 40 people in a waiting room in ICU, and it became a problem because these people were in there all, you know, loving the parishioner, which is fine, but you know, they're not just on their knees praying the whole time. You've got teenagers that they're laughing up a storm because, you know, because they had some funny joke, and they're this happening, and here in this waiting room are other people who are struggling right now because their loved ones are in ICU, and then we have this rowdy church group who their love is there to the one parishioner that comes from our church, but it creates problems with the room. So as general, as a pastor, you want to sort of watch groups from church. Also, too, is sometimes some of these hospital experiences become longer deals. And watch for the health of spouses and the needs of family. It's more important, I believe, to mobilize your church behind the scenes, to bring a meal, to babysit a child, or things that sort of keep the family in a sustainable place while their loved one is receiving medical attention. There you have it. And again, I wish you well, and don't worry about hospital calls. Follow these principles will really help you, and if you get an opportunity, read up some more on it. But you're going to do fine as you love and sincerely minister in the name of Christ.